I'm going to keep my eye on this development. VOA 1, The Hits.
You know what?
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, you will hear a report from Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins about the possibility of a first-ever world treaty on plastics. Gregory Stockel and Katie Weaver have this week's education report. Finally, we hear the lesson of the day from John Russell. But first,
international negotiators are meeting in Canada's capital to discuss writing a treaty to control plastic and pollution linked to it. The meeting in Ottawa is part of the United Nations Environmental Program and is to last until April 29th. Supporters say the agreement would be the biggest related to carbon gas creation and environmental protection since the 2015 Paris Agreement. In that agreement, about 195 parties agreed to keep average world temperatures from rising more than 1.5 degrees Celsius compared to pre-industrial times. But delegates to the negotiations on plastics are divided over what the treaty should include.
At the UN Environmental Assembly in 2022, nations agreed to develop an agreement with the force of law, or a treaty, on plastics. The goal was to have a treaty by the end of 2024. Negotiators aim to make rules about plastics throughout the life of plastic products. That includes when they are produced, how they are used, and how they are thrown away. Plastic waste has become a world problem on land and in the sea. Supporters of a treaty also say producing plastics involves releasing greenhouse gases. The U.S. Federal Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California recently released a report on plastic pollution. The report said the plastics industry now produces 5% of the world's carbon gases. But the U.S. government laboratory said that the industry's share of carbon gases could grow a lot if its current growth models behave as expected. Reuters News Service says plastic production is estimated to triple by 2060 without production limits. Most new chemicals for plastics are made from petroleum.
This week's talks are set to be the biggest yet and include 3,500 people registered to attend, including lobbyists, business leaders, scientists, and environmental nonprofit groups. But countries are divided on the issues after three earlier rounds of talks. They were held in Punta del Este, Uruguay, Paris, and most recently in Nairobi, Kenya. At the talks in Nairobi in November, the proposed treaty expanded from 30 to 70 pages. Some countries objected to measures like production limits and requiring a halt to production of some products. Countries hope to find common ground before final negotiations are held in December in Busan, South Korea.
Many countries that produce plastics and countries that produce chemicals for plastics opposed production limits. Those countries include Saudi Arabia, Iran, and China. They are collectively known as the Group of Like-Minded Countries. They have blocked other countries from calling for production limits, chemical disclosures, or reduction timelines after last year's meeting in Nairobi. A group of 60 nations wants to end plastic pollution by 2040. They are called the High Ambition Coalition. The group includes European Union countries, island nations, Japan, and the United Arab Emirates. Some environmental groups support the High Ambition Coalition. It has called for agreements to limit and reduce the production and use of plastics to sustainable levels. It also is proposing measures to end the use of problematic single-use plastics over time and to ban some chemicals that might carry health risks. The United States says it also wants to end plastic pollution by 2040. But unlike the High Ambition Coalition, it wants countries to set their own plans. In addition, the U.S. wants countries to regularly inform the UN of their plans.
The trade group Global Partners for Plastics Circularity represents major producers of chemicals used in plastics. It includes members of the American Chemical Council and Plastics Europe. The group argues that production limits would lead to higher prices for buyers. It says that the treaty should deal with plastics only after they are made. The chemical companies support the reuse or recycling of plastics. They support developing the market for burning plastics for fuel. Additionally, the group said companies should be permitted to release information about chemical processes voluntarily. However, a Reuters investigation in July of 2021 said that many attempts by big oil companies to recycle plastics were not successful.
More than 200 companies have joined a group called the Business Coalition for a Plastics Treaty. Like the petrochemical industry, these companies depend on plastic containers for their products. They have been involved in the negotiations. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
Mohamed Sall and three other youths in Senegal are taking part in a new program to teach students with hearing loss. The currently small program joins hard-of-hearing students and hearing students together in a few public high schools in the country. Saul is going to school at a Peaks Guinot Ride Sud in Dakar, Senegal's capital. Some of the hearing students there have learned sign language since Saul arrived. I have no problem communicating with some colleagues I went to primary school with, Saul said through his mother. The new colleagues don't know sign language, but we still play together. Selene Senghor is in his class. She also knew Saul in primary school. She said, "We've been friends, so it was easy to learn sign language." The other students look to the sign language aid to tell them what Saul is saying when he signs.
The United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF, says about 60% of children with hearing loss and other disabilities in Senegal do not attend school. The country's government data is incomplete, as its count only includes children officially registered as having a disability. Sarah Pullman of UNICEF Senegal said, "We're looking for progress from the government to ensure every child, regardless of ability, has the opportunity to learn." Senegal lacks a national plan for inclusive education, but it is developing one. Recent political difficulties have slowed progress. There are traditional prejudices against people with disabilities in the country, as in many other places. Some parents of disabled children keep them from public life and usual childhood activities. But opinions are changing.
In 2021, Senegal's football team for deaf and hard of hearing players won the first African football championship for such teams and competed in the World Championship. The country's president publicly congratulated them on their success in the game. And during the recent election, support organizations taught hard of hearing voters over 100 election-related words in sign language. Now, students with disabilities are in public schools. The organization Humanity and Inclusion began partnering with Senegal's Education Ministry last year. The team aimed to mix classes of deaf and hearing students in 4 public schools using inclusive education methods. APEEX is one of those schools. The organization provides the sign language aids to the schools. Saul is receiving a free education. Most disabled students in the country pay for education at special private schools. But many families of disabled children do not have enough money to do that. Those children do not get to go to school. Khadija Kundio is Saul's mother. She paid about $17 each month for him to join in at an activity center for children with learning difficulties.
Then he was able to enter primary school with the support of a similar humanity and inclusion program. It was created several years ago in a small number of schools for younger students. Omar Diop is a leader at APEEX. He praised the new school program, but said difficulties continue. Diop said, "It's their first year for the teachers, so that poses a problem because the children come with a much higher level of sign language." Mamadou Conte is the APEEX school leader. He said there is a need for more teacher training and that the education model needs to spread across Senegal. Difficulties remain for students and families, too. Kundio is president of the parents group for the school's deaf and hard of hearing students. She said some of her son's classmates live far away from the school and struggle with the cost of transportation to and from. Pullman said government programs like the Carte de l'Egalité provide financial support for families so their children can go to specialized schools. But she spoke of the importance of programs for public schools. Jandira Monteiro is with Humanity and Inclusion. She said there is a need for Senegal's health and education ministries to work together to create a more complete support system for children with disabilities. Sal said he feels accepted by the other students. The teachers at APIX speak of his intelligence and his artistic abilities. His mother wants him to seek success in all that he loves, including art. She said, "One day, when I'm gone, he'll have enough to support himself." I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Gregory Stockel.
That was Gregory Stockel and Katie Weaver with this week's Education Report. Greg joins me now to talk more about the story. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
This week's report centered on a new program in Senegal that permits students with hearing difficulties to learn in classrooms alongside hearing students. There was one word in the story that I was hoping we could talk more about. Opportunity.
Sure. An opportunity has a few meanings. In the case of our report, UNICEF's Sarah Pullman says every child should have the opportunity to learn. Here, it means a situation in which something can happen. It generally means the same thing as chance.
What are some other usages and meanings of opportunity?
Well, opportunity can also mean a set time or occasion to do something. So a teacher might say to students, "There will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of class." And there are photo opportunities during some events that well-known people attend. A photo opportunity is a period of time in which photographers are allowed to take pictures during such events.
Interesting. I know of a few other common phrases that have the word opportunity. Career opportunity is one.
Yes, a career opportunity is a job that may let you advance in your career. That job might even be a golden opportunity for you.
That is another good one. A golden opportunity is just a really excellent chance to do something. Golden opportunities are rare. They do not come around often. Well, Greg, that's all the time we have today, but thank you again for that education report, and thank you again for joining me today.
You're welcome, Ashley. I'm glad I had the opportunity to come on the show today.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
In this next report, Gregory Stockel tells us about a study that explored dinosaurs' growth rates. We learn that early dinosaurs had fast growth rates, much like the animals found today. Pay careful attention to the word extinction. We will talk more about it after the report.
Dinosaurs existed for 165 million years. The animals' evolutionary success was partly due to their fast growth rate. A new study finds that this pattern of fast growth appeared in the earliest dinosaurs. The researchers examined microscopic details in dinosaur bone fossils from Argentina. The details showed that the earliest dinosaurs had growth rates similar to animals found today, like mammals and birds. Scientist Christy Curry Rogers of McAllister College in Minnesota studies fossils. She is the lead writer of the research recently released in the publication PLOS One. She said growing quickly allows organisms to escape the risky business of being small for a long part of their life history. And she added that it also allows them to reproduce more throughout their life. That means each following generation will be more successful. The researchers examined patterns fossilized within the bones of dinosaurs and some of their relatives. The dinosaurs they looked at lived in northwestern Argentina between 231 and 229 million years ago. Curry Rogers said cellular and chemical details in the fossils all show relative speed of growth. She added that the soft parts of the animal are no longer present, but the hard parts, like the bones, left a record of spaces where the soft parts once were. She said, "This allows us to reconstruct and compare growth patterns among animals." The researchers studied five early dinosaurs. They all walked on 2 feet, were quick on their feet, had clawed hands that could hold objects, and had sharp teeth. Three were meat eaters, and the ancestors of large meat eaters like T-Rex and Gigantosaurus. The dinosaurs included Herrerasaurus and San Juansaurus, which were around 3 to 4.5 meters long. The last meat eater, Iodromaeus, was the size of a large bird. The two others, Eoraptor and Chromogosaurus, were also around the size of a large bird. They were the ancestors of long-necked, four-legged large dinosaurs like Argentinosaurus and Dreadnoughtus. All five showed signs of fast growth. But the researchers also surprisingly found that some non-dinosaur reptiles in the same area and time had their own fast growth rates. Quick growth was also found in four-legged Saurosuchus. It was a top-level meat eater on land that was 7 meters long and similar to a reptile found today, the crocodile. Additionally, quick growth was found in crocodile relatives like Proterocampsa and Trilestes. Other animals like the plant-eating reptile Hyperodapodon and mammal-like reptile Exeratodon also grew quickly, but they regularly paused their growth throughout their life. That is different than the continuous fast growth of dinosaurs. The first dinosaurs and these other animals evolved during a time on Earth called the Triassic period. It followed after Earth's worst mass extinction 252 million years ago at the end of the Permian period. About 95% of different kinds of animals were lost after severe climate change. The climate change may have been caused by massive volcanic activity in an area found in today's Russia. Curry Rogers said that fast growth was good for them in a changing world. And she said that fast growth, combined with dinosaur biology and behavior, allowed dinosaurs to succeed early. Another mass extinction at the end of the Triassic, about 201 million years ago, killed off many early competitors to the dinosaurs. Curry Rogers said that as time continued, dinosaurs held on to these high growth rates. She said that led to many different kinds of dinosaurs. But she said their competitors, like crocodile cousins, had less differences in growth patterns and behavior. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Before the report, we asked you to pay careful attention to the word extinction. Can you remember when you heard it? You heard the term used a couple of times. Let's listen again to the first example.
The first dinosaurs and these other animals evolved during a time on Earth called the Triassic period. It followed after Earth's worst mass extinction 252 million years ago at the end of the Permian period.
And here is the second example.
Another mass extinction at the end of the Triassic, about 201 million years ago, killed off many early competitors to the dinosaurs.
Extinction is a noun. It means the state or situation when something has died out completely. We spell extinction like this. E-X-T-I-N-C-T-I-O-N. You should connect the noun extinction with the adjective extinct. The only difference in spelling is that extinction has a few extra letters at the end of the word, I-O-N. Both extinction and extinct are extremely important words to know when you talk about dinosaurs or many other animal species. How might we compare extinction and extinct in sentences? We can simplify one of the sentences you heard in the report to this. A mass extinction killed off many early competitors to the dinosaurs. Or we could say, early competitors to the dinosaurs went extinct. In the report, you heard the noun extinction used with the word mass, as in mass extinction. While there is a technical definition in biology, for our purposes, we can think of a mass extinction as a situation in which many species die off. An extinction is when one kind of species dies off. Or we can change our definition to include extinct, as in a mass extinction is a situation in which many species go extinct. And that's the lesson of the day. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.